Okay. First Peter chapter 5, and this morning we are looking in particular at verses 6 through 11. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your ministry to us, your presence with us. And we pray that as we come before your word at this time, that you would speak afresh to us. Help us to hear you. Help us to receive you. Help us to obey you. We pray that you would change us and make us more Christ-like. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, we are beginning to close out 1 Peter. Today and next Sunday, we'll be wrapping up 1 Peter. And so these are kind of Peter's final words, if you will, at least in this first letter. He'll give a few closing greetings that we'll look at next week, but these are kind of his last words to them in this letter. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when you're writing or you're speaking, you're in a conversation, usually the stuff that you end up on, that's stuff that you want to make sure that they don't forget. Okay, and I don't know, maybe you can think about, you're about ready to go someplace new. Maybe your mom or your dad or somebody is sending you off. Well, usually kind of the last words that they say to you, that's the stuff that they really want to make sure that you remember, that you get. And so here is Peter kind of ended the letter and kind of this final exhortation, if you will, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In due time, he will lift you up. Cast your cares, cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. That is good stuff in and of itself. I mean, just to hear those words completely out of context, just those couple statements, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in due time he will lift you up. I mean, that is good news, that if I'm humble before God, then at the right time, God will lift me up out of my humble state. Cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. I assume that when you come into this place, you don't leave your cares outside. I assume that when you come into the church, that you don't leave your anxieties out on the curb somewhere. Because we're invited to bring our anxieties, we're invited to bring all that we care, all that is weighted upon us, to bring our cares and to cast them upon him, because he cares for us. Okay, so worship is not a time to kind of somehow leave your problems behind. Worship is a time to bring all that stuff to God and to cast your cares and to cast your very self upon him. So this is good stuff, even if we don't have any context. But we do have context. And the context that we have is that Peter has been writing to them about the suffering that they've been going through. And in particular, they have been suffering because people have been shaming them, mocking them, ridiculing them, even persecuting them because they're Christians. And you may or may not recall how Peter describes them as kind of aliens, strangers in the world. Well, what makes them aliens, what makes them strangers, what makes them misfits is because they worship only Christ. They live in a polytheistic world. That means they live in a world where they worship lots of gods. And the folks that Peter is writing to are Christians, and what makes them Christians is they worship Christ exclusively, that Christ is the only God that they worship. And so they don't fit in their world, they don't fit in their families, they don't fit in their towns, and a lot of times people turn against them because they only worship Christ. And they shame them, they mock them, they ridicule them, they make them suffer, they won't do business with them. They won't invite them to the family gathering. I mean, they are outsiders in their own world. And Peter has been telling them that as you face that stuff, make sure you do it in such a way that you are imitating Jesus. That no matter who's putting the pressure against you, that you respond in a way that you imitate Jesus. So you actually kind of trace Jesus' response in your own response. And the reason why they can do this, and also the reason why they are misfits, is because they've been given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They have a new life. And yet they're being ridiculed for that new life. Now, and so that's our context. It's this context of suffering. And you can see it coming through. Look with me in down to verse 9. Resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Okay, so that suffering for Jesus' sake, that suffering for the name of Jesus, that's especially the context here. Also, look at the next verse, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And so this suffering context. Now, when somebody insults you, what's your natural response? Yeah, you're going to get back at them. You're going to insult them back. Somebody gets in your face. What's your response? Somebody clenches their fist. What's your response? Somebody starts talking behind your back. What's your response? Somebody looks at you sideways. What's your response? Somebody makes fun of you because you do something a certain way. Somebody makes fun of you maybe because you don't drink anymore. Somebody makes fun of you maybe because you don't look at the same stuff they look at. You don't enter into the same jokes that they enter in. Somebody is kind of in your face and putting you down because you're trying to live for Jesus. What's your response? How do you act? And see, what Peter is saying is that it's in this context where you got people in your face putting you down, trying to mock you into living the old life instead of living in the new life. That's what he's concerned about. And he says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, because in due time he will exalt you. He will lift you up. And cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Let me think about this a little bit more in this particular context of kind of suffering or persecution. Humble yourself under God's hand. See, the opposite of that would be to lift my hand against the person who is mocking me and ridiculing me and making fun of me. The opposite of that would be to, I'm going to show them. And somehow I am going to retaliate. Somehow I am going to put them down. Somehow I am going to put them in their place. But somehow, some way, I will make them pay for talking about me behind my back or for getting in my face. No, Peter says what? Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. See, my first response is, I'm going to find a way to get back. My first response is, in some kind of way, to raise my hand against those who are speaking evil of me, or those who are ridiculing me or mocking me, that somehow I'm going to raise my hand against them and I'm going to prevail and show that my hand is stronger than their hand. And what's Peter say? Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And if I humble myself under God's mighty hand, then that means I can't raise my hand against them. If I humble myself under God's mighty hand, then that means I have to trust that God is going to take care of things. And that in due time, not my time, but in due time, in God's time, God will lift me up. rather than me lifting myself up against them. The word here for time, due time, it's in Greek it's the word kairos. It's kind of appointed time. Typically that refers to kind of the end of time. Resurrection time. Jesus come back time. And so I might live a whole life of not being able to raise my hand against somebody. I might live my whole life of being mocked for being a Christian, of being put down or made fun of for following Jesus. Might have to deal with that my whole life, but in due time, God's time, at the resurrection, when Christ returns, I will be exalted. See, that's what he's getting at. That you don't raise your hand against people who are putting you down for following Christ, that you trust God's hand. And in due time, God will lift you up. It's also interesting, just to think with it a little bit. Let me read it again. Humble yourselves, or you could translate it, be humbled, under God's mighty hand. See, the tendency is that if somebody is mocking me, ridiculing me, shutting me off from doing business, not inviting me over anymore, leaving me on the outside, the tendency is to think that somehow I am under their hand. And Peter is kind of saying, no, you're not really under their hand, you're actually under God's hand. And that's kind of weird to think about, because I would normally think that the one who is insulting me, that's who I'm under. And so I want to get over them. But Peter's saying, no, you're under God's mighty hand. And I think there's a couple things going on with this. Number one is when I'm under that kind of duress, whether it's that kind of insult or alienation or ostracization, whatever, when I'm under that, what's happening to me? Well, one of the things that happens as I suffer, as I deal with that stuff, is that my faith becomes purified. My heart gets worked on. I have to learn how to be patient. I have to learn how to respond with blessing instead of curse. I have to learn how to be obedient to Christ. I have to learn self-control. So in one sense, I'm being humbled. I'm under God's hand, and God's hand is actually using those other hands that are against me to kind of reshape and remold my character so that I begin to trust God more, and so that I begin to love more, and so that I'm so changed that when somebody curses me, I'm able to respond with blessing. Yeah, I'm under their hands, but ultimately I'm under God's hand, and God is actually using those hands to kind of reshape my life, my character, my heart. But a second aspect of that is in kind of being under their hands and kind of having to suffer under them, yet under God's mighty hand, that suffering ends up not only changing me, but God can actually use that to change those who have their hands against me. And so that as I trust God, as I'm under their hands, they're beginning to realize, wait a minute, they're not getting what they expected. They thought they would get in a cursing match. Instead, there's still love for them. There's still blessing for them. They thought that if I rejected you, you know, they thought that if they rejected, they would be rejected. And yet they're still prayed for and still welcomed and still cared about. See, when we're under hands, but under God's hand, God can actually not only use those hands to change our lives, but end up using us to change their lives. Did that make sense? And so it's just really interesting. Humble yourselves when you have all these kind of hands against you. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And in due time, God will lift you up, and they will see that God is with us, and God will exalt us, and God will be glorified through our lives. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. Again, I mean, that is wonderful news. I think about all the different anxieties that we have, anxieties about health, anxieties about work, anxieties about exams if you're in school, anxiety about finances. I mean, we have all kinds of anxieties. And cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. And yes, I'm with that all the way. But I've been rethinking that in terms of this context. When somebody's talking about me, it's hard to go to sleep that night. When I know that I got to go into a situation to where I'm going to be ridiculed because I follow Christ, man, there's some anxiety that begins to swell there. Cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. When you have all those hands against you and you're kind of anxious and you can feel, how am I going to respond? And there's anxiety about it. Cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. It's God's hand that is the mighty hand. And there may be lots of hands under God's hand that are somehow pushing and squeezing and pulling and putting pressure on you to where life is really anxious. But it's God's hand who is the mighty hand. And He cares about each one of us. And so don't try to figure out how you're going to handle everything. Don't try to figure out what you're going to say. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And that actually takes some humility. Because one of the things that I've learned is that I like to try to handle everything myself. And that's really kind of an arrogant thing to do. And to think that I can manage everything, that I can handle everything, that I can somehow, exalt myself over against the hands that might be against me, that's really pretty arrogant. And so to come to the place where I cast all my cares upon Him, because He cares for me, and His caring for me is far better than anything I can manage for myself. So I hope you take these verses home. I hope they settle deep within you. To humble yourself under God's mighty hand, no matter the hands that might be against you. And to know that in due time, God will lift you up. And what that submission looks like is casting your cares upon Him instead of raising your hands against those folks. Instead of somehow trying to raise yourself up against those folks. But to cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Now look at the next line or two. Still in this kind of same vein. Be self-controlled. Some translations might say be sober-minded and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Maybe just a few more things here to think about. Be sober, be self-control, be alert, keep watch. Usually we meet anger with anger. Usually if somebody shames us out of that hurt, there boils up anger, and we end up responding out of anger. Our tendency is to meet anger with anger. Well, I don't know about you, but when anger is driving me, I find that I have very little self-control. That when anger is driving me, it's very hard to be sober-minded. And then, too, I mean, just to be honest about it, you know very well, it is a really deadly combination when you get anger and alcohol involved. And it's almost like alcohol builds the anger and anger builds the alcohol. And so I don't think it's by any accident that the word that Peter uses here is the word to be sober. You know, it is be sober minded. And I don't think it's so much that he was worried about his folks getting drunk, although maybe they were tempted. I mean, I don't doubt that there were people that came out of that life that he's writing to. And that's part of why they don't fit anymore, because they don't party with everybody the same. But be sober so that you're in control. And you're not just responding to those hands against you out of anger. And then he says, it's in one sense, you got those hands against you, but it's the devil who's looking to devour you. Okay, and I want to pause there for a moment. So you got these hands that are against you, and you got God's sovereign hand, mighty hand over those hands that are against you. But it's the devil who is prowling around, who is looking to devour you. Maybe we need to be clear here. When do you get devoured? And the word devour can also be translated swallowed. And so when do you kind of get swallowed by the devil? And this is the important point, I think, that we need to pick up on. Them raising their hands against me is not the devil devouring me. Okay, can I say that again? The people who have their hands kind of raised against me, who might be mocking me, who might be ridiculing me, who might be isolating me because I follow Jesus, that's not the devil devouring me. That's not the devil swallowing me up. You know when I get swallowed? I get swallowed when I respond back in anger. That's when I got swallowed. I get swallowed when somebody curses me and I curse them back. See, them cursing me, that's not the devil devouring me. Rather, when I curse back, that's where I get eaten alive. And so what he's saying here is you got to be sober-minded. You got to be under self-control. You got to keep watch. You got to be alert. Because so often when somebody does us wrong, our first response is, well, we're going to raise our hands against them. Well, when we raise our hands against them, that's when we've been swallowed. So don't think that somebody coming against you, mocking you, ridiculing you, whatever, that's the devil devouring you. No, that's just hands against you, but God's hand is sovereign, and God's actually going to use those hands to refine you and to reshape you, and so you can actually be a witness to the hands that are against you. And just maybe they'll be changed. But when the devil devours, what the devil is trying to do is to get us to fight back the same way that we were attacked. To get us to curse back, to get us to be angry back, to get us to hate back, to get us to curse back. That's when we get devoured. I mentioned swallowed. Looking for someone to swallow. I have that there because the passage that Tony read talked about how there's going to be a feast. And on that feast, at that feast, the cloth that covers all humanity is going to be swallowed. Okay, and it's death. The death is actually going to be, it's the same word. So on the one hand, the devil is looking for someone who he can devour, who he can swallow up. But the good news of the gospel is that God has swallowed up death. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes about how in Christ God has swallowed up that last enemy, swallowed up death. And so we don't have to allow ourselves to be swallowed by the devil, because we have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us who are shielded by God's power through faith, until the coming of the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And see, we have been swallowed up with life, swallowed up with the victory of Christ, so therefore don't let the devil swallow us up in terms of responding like we're still stuck in the old life. We have a new life. Be strong. Stand firm in the faith. I just got to point this out. Sorry for the Greek lessons today. But the idea here, resist him, standing firm in the faith, standing firm, that's the word that we get the word steroids from. Okay, so what do steroids do? Well, they kind of bulk you up, right? Okay, so what Peter is saying here is the devil's prowling around looking for someone to swallow, looking for someone who will kind of cave in and fight back. No, resist him. Kind of bulk up. Be steroid-like in your faith. Okay, and so that you're strong and so that you're not going to get swallowed by him. The passage that we opened the service with today, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. It was the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And one of the things that John points out at the end of the meal that the Synoptic Gospels don't is that at the end of the meal, the people try to force Jesus to be king. Okay, they wanted to surround Jesus and make him king because they recognized what Jesus was doing. He had fed them. And I think they probably made a connection with that he is the Messiah, he's bringing the end, he's bringing the victory. And so what they were going to do is they were going to try to take Jesus and make him their king, and so that he would do everything that they wanted him to do. And the temptation for Jesus at that point was that if Jesus went along with them, he could be king without having to suffer. And whether you realize it or not, that right there the devil is prowling about looking to devour Jesus. Because if the devil could get Jesus to kind of go along with the people and to kind of cave in and do what they wanted to do and be their kind of king, he had him. He would have been swallowed alive. And Jesus resisted. And Jesus wouldn't go, he wouldn't allow the people to kind of squeeze him into their mold to be who they wanted him to be. He went up higher and he prayed. And he avoided being swallowed by the devil. See, and I think that's the same kind of thing that we face. Maybe not to the degree that Jesus faced. He faced it for all of us at all times. But it's the same type of thing where people have their hands against us, trying to squeeze us into who they want us to be, squeeze us into this mold of the old life, of fighting back, and no, that's right where the devil's trying to devour us. And like Jesus, like on steroids, would not go along. 5,000 people that he had just fed trying to make him king. And he said, no, that's not how the Father wants it done. And resisted, was firm, and went on up and prayed. He prowls about looking for someone to devour. Stand firm, resist him, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, and that little while might be a lifetime, but after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Do you see the contrast? The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. You realize that that's God's calling on you, right? God has called each of us into his eternal glory in Christ. That's the stuff that Peter opened the letter with. Praise God. Give thanks to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because in his great mercy, he is what? Johnny? Given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Called into an eternal glory. We may have to suffer here. And we may suffer a lifetime here. But that is just a little while compared to eternal glory. God of all grace. I I got to stop there. God of all grace. This life that we're looking at here, it's not something that you just do on your own. It's not that I'm going to grit my teeth. It's not that I'm going to clench my fist. It's not that I'm going to hold my breath. It's not that somehow I'm going to try harder and I'm finally going to get it right. God of all grace. It is only by His grace that we are able to resist the devil. It is only by His grace that we are able to humble ourselves. It is only by His grace that we're able to cast our cares upon Him. It's only by His grace that we're able to return blessing when we've been cursed. It's only by His grace that we're able to keep our hearts open to people who have closed their hearts to us. It's only by His grace that we can have the courage to keep following Jesus when everyone else is kind of isolating us and putting us down because we follow Jesus. And then we pray for them. And we care about them. And we seek God's best for them. It's only by grace. And the God of all grace, who called you into eternal glory through Christ, His Son, after you suffer for a little while, He will restore you, He will strengthen you, He will put things right, and He will make you stand firm. To Him be the glory forever and ever. To Him be the power forever and ever, the might forever and ever. Again, realize that it may seem like all power belongs to those hands who are against you, but it doesn't. It all belongs to God. And God is even going to find a way to take what they're doing, to use it to purify you. And so that calling into eternal glory will be fulfilled. I don't know how much anxiety you came in with today, but I know you come from some pretty hard places. Places where it's hard to follow Jesus. Whether it's a halfway house, I know it's hard there. Whether it's the streets, whether it's an apartment complex, whether it's school, whether it's your family, I know that we come together from places where it's hard to follow Jesus. Places where it feels like hands are against you because you're following. And I want to take a moment to give you a new opportunity to cast that anxiety upon Him. To be able to come and just to pray for a moment or two. God, I am having a hard time trusting You. I am having a hard time tracing Jesus. I am having a hard time blessing. God, I am having a hard time not raising my hands up against all those hands that feel like they're so against me. Help me to humble myself under Your hand, that I can trust You and respond with the grace that You want me to respond with. Would you bow your heads? And if you have a lot of anxiety today, a little anxiety today, but you know that you're struggling and that the devil is after you to devour you, to swallow you up, to where you respond like you would in the old life, with anger, with hatred, with vengeance, I invite you to just come and to kneel here for a moment and to cast that anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. And He has all grace for you to change your heart so that you can actually live graciously towards people, even when their hands are against you. Would you just come and kneel? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. God of all grace, we thank you for the new life that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And we confess that sometimes we have an awfully hard time living out this new life. And when people raise their hands against us, we so seek to get revenge. We so seek to find a way to raise our hands back against them and put them in their place. Help us to be humble under your mighty hand. Help us to trust that in your time you will lift us up. And God of all grace, give us grace that we might live faithful and true to you, that we might trace Jesus who gave himself for us, that we might be set free from sin. Help us to honor you in all that we do. Help us to cast all of our cares upon you, but especially help us to honor you when hands are against us. Give us grace, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I'm going to invite Eddie and the band to come back, and they're going to lead us in There Is Power in the Blood. And as they sing, I invite you to come and receive communion. Receive the bread, receive the cup. Return to your seats. We'll take communion together. And it truly is in Jesus' self-giving that we receive power, that we receive that grace. Grace to trace Jesus. Grace to be able to bear the suffering rather than to be devoured in the midst of it.